Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm Shirley Griffith. This week on our program, we look at modern changes in the American father.
Father's Day will be observed this year on Sunday, June 21st. This special day to honor and celebrate fathers has 100 years of history behind it. In 1909, there was a woman named Sonora Dodd. She was in church at a service for Mother's Day, which is celebrated in May. She thought about how difficult it had been for her father to raise 6 children all by himself. Her mother had died in childbirth, leaving her father to raise her and her 5 brothers and sisters. She decided that since there was a day honoring mothers, there should also be one recognizing fathers. Sonora Dodd campaigned for the idea in her home state of Washington, in the Pacific Northwest. The first Father's Day was celebrated in June of 1910 in the city of Spokane. June was the month her father was born.
At first, Sonora Dodd had found little support. But in the years that followed, the idea of Father's Day spread across the country. It gained the approval of President Woodrow Wilson in 1916. Yet, he never signed an official proclamation, as he did 2 years earlier for the first Mother's Day. President Calvin Coolidge, in 1924, added his support to a national observance of Father's Day. Then, in 1966, Lyndon Johnson declared it the third Sunday in June. Finally, in 1972, Richard Nixon made it permanent. Other countries also celebrate Father's Day, some on the third Sunday in June, others on a different day.
Okay, let's be honest. As holidays go, Mother's Day in America is still a bigger deal than Father's Day. But millions of dads will get at least a card, or a call, or maybe a necktie or some other gift from their family. And much has changed since that first celebration in 1910. Kevin Roy is an associate professor in the Department of Family Science at the University of Maryland. Professor Roy says, fathers today are expected to do more than just provide financially for the family's needs.
Cultural expectations have changed kind of dramatically, where now we have what's called a package deal, which means that fathers are now expected to not only be providers but also caregivers for their kids.
That change could be seen in the differences between 2 television fathers from different generations. In the 1950s and early 60s, Robert Young played Jim Anderson on the family comedy Father Knows Best. He was an insurance salesman who worked hard to provide for his family. He did not cook or clean much. That was his wife's job, but he was a thoughtful father and husband.
Well, Kathy, I don't want $1 million, or even a half a million. I only want enough money to have a nice home like we have, and good food, good health, and enough money to help those less fortunate than ourselves from time to time.
And enough to raise my allowance a little.
I might even arrange that.
By the time The Cosby Show began in 1984, it was common in American society for mothers to work. Bill Cosby played Heathcliff Huxtable, a loving husband and father who was a doctor married to a lawyer. They were partners not only in marriage, but in managing the household and parenting their children. Here, Cliff Huxtable tries to teach his son an important life lesson.
How do you expect to get into college with grades like this?
No problem.
Huh?
See, I'm not going to college.
Damn right.
I am going to get through high school and then get a job like regular people.
Regular people?
Yeah, you know, work in the gas station, drive a bus, something like that.
So what you're saying is your mother and I shouldn't care if you get D's because you don't need good grades to be regular people.
In the 1970s, Harry Chapin sang a song about a father who never seems to have time for his son. Then, when the father gets older and wants to connect with his son, the son is the one who is too busy. The song was called Cats in the Cradle.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know.
In the early 90s, Reba McEntire described a similar situation between a father and daughter in The Greatest Man I Never Knew.
The greatest man I never knew came home late every night. He never had too much to say, too much on his mind. I never really knew him, oh, and now it seems so sad. Everything he gave to us took all he had.
Mike Kaufman is a radio broadcaster based in Washington, D.C. He considers himself a modern dad who got involved in parenting early. He and his wife have a new baby boy.
We both wanted to take on equal parts of the challenges, equal parts of the joy, equal parts of the burden, and equal parts of the preparation. So we did things like take classes before the baby was born, and we took a class on basic baby care, and that will cover everything from how to change those diapers and how to give the baby a bath and all those things, which frankly we didn't know a whole lot about. We're both only children, and we sort of started from scratch. We figured these classes would be a good thing to do to prepare.
As only children, they had no baby brothers or sisters to take care of, so every day for them is new. Like many other couples, the Kaufmans took pregnancy and childbirth classes together. They took another class that taught them life-saving skills to use in an emergency. So how does Mike's experience compare with the way he thinks of fathers when he was growing up?
You have this vision of dads back then pacing in a waiting room, ready to hand out cigars, congratulations, I just had a boy, just had a girl, whatever, we have a new child. Now dads are, they go to all the appointments with their wives prenatally and all the doctor checkups. They're in the delivery room when the baby is born. I mean, that's definitely something that's new.
Today, men are often more involved than their fathers were in parenting their children and helping with housework. Still, it is not always smooth sailing. Julie Shields is the author of How to Avoid the Mommy Trap, a roadmap for sharing parenting and making it work. She says creating a balance between partners takes work.
The problem is, in the old days, when people had a traditional division of labor, it was very clear. as to who should do what. Mother should stay home, be in charge of the house, and in fact did much more housework than they do now, and be in charge of the children by and large. And father should go out to work and be gone most of the day and not be as involved in what is going on with the children, except maybe as a disciplinarian if things get to be too much.
Author Julie Shields says couples today often have a hard time trying to decide how to share responsibilities. Women often talk about needing more help from their husbands, she says, yet some women have a hard time giving up control.
Once we try to get our husband to do something and he starts to do it, we critique the way he does it. And then a lot of times the men will pull back. So it's very important, once you've given up something, to stay out of it and not fix it if it goes wrong.
When it comes to parenting, she says, men may not do things the same way that women do. The Mommy Trap author says that does not mean they are doing it wrong, just differently, at least at first.
A lot of times fathers have to catch up to mothers. You just have to allow your husband to have that on-the-job training that women get.
The Census Bureau says fathers regularly care for one-fourth of children of preschool age whose mothers have jobs outside the home. These fathers generally also have jobs. But in 2008, the United States had an estimated 140,000 stay-at-home fathers. These are men who have stayed out of the labor force for at least 1 year, mainly to raise children while their wives go to work. Stay-at-home dads are a small number compared to 5 million stay-at-home moms. But right now, the recession seems to be adding to the number of fathers staying home with their kids. Job losses have been a lot higher for men than for women. The Labor Department says the unemployment rate for women was 8% in May. For men, it was 10.5%.
Mike Stillwell is a stay-at-home dad by choice. He is also the head of a support group in the Washington area known as DC Metro Dads. He says the group has about 450 members. Most of them stay at home by choice, he says. But there are times when the decision is simply a question of economics. Mike Stillwell and his wife decided early that if the cost of child care got to be too much, one of them would quit work. That time came 12 years ago. Mike has been a stay-at-home dad ever since. He says most of the dads in his group have the same responsibilities, questions, and concerns that stay-at-home moms have.
The only thing that we always try to stress is that a stay-at-home dad can do the same thing that a stay-at-home mom can do. I always like to joke with some of the new dads that come into the group that there's really only two things that a stay-at-home dad can't do, and that's give birth and breastfeed.
Our program was written and produced by June Sims. Transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of our programs are at VOA Special English. I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Bob Doty. Join us again next week for This is America in VOA Special English. We leave you with Luther Vandross and his Grammy-winning Song of the Year from 2003, Dance with My Father.
Back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the downstairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another